We were speaking recently of the ideal home, and we observed that the foundation for the ideal home was laid by the hand of God out of love for humanity. Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we observed that, of course. And this thing of marriage, a marvelous relationship, is cemented on the basis of love. The only way a marriage can endure is sincere, selfless love. Too many marriages today are being contracted on various bases that really are not lasting in nature. But when one loves another more than himself, and she responds to that kind of love, then you can build a home where there are indeed two people. Yes, but they are one, Jesus said, a team. And they have their assignments and their work, and they do that with joy and pleasure because of the great love that they share one with the other. A marvelous thing. You know, the basis of marriage, when you stop to think about it, and marriage is the foundation of the ideal home, is not necessarily the procreation of the human family. Sure, that's important, and that is a part of marriage, and we'll notice that. We'll speak of that a little later. But marriage also is to prevent fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 at verse 2, we understand that, and that is a valuable element, the contentment, the peace of mind that should characterize man and woman in marriage. We understand, but the basic fundamental design of marriage is companionship. Oh, yes, based upon love. You know, too many times husbands and wives become busy in providing for their offspring, and they're separated, going in opposite directions. They're tax service for the children. They're attending the activities of the children, the ball games, etc. And if they aren't very careful, they grow apart in this kind of atmosphere. Friends, one thing a man needs to remember is that there should not be a day pass but that he gets his wife to herself, just privately, maybe but a few seconds. Sure, busy schedule. Look her in the eye. Touch her. Tell her how much she means to you and how much you love her. Ha ha, she can function for a day on that kind of expression, sincerely made, and that is vital to marriage and its maintenance. As a matter of fact, too many times people draw apart, and the marriage is not really what it ought to be. You know, children come along, and we're grateful, and that's a gift from Jehovah. Hey, they grow up. And this young man finds a young lady, and they get married, and they establish a home of their own. This daughter, if she finds a young man, and the first thing you know, they have said the vows, and they build a home of their own. When the last child is gone, hey, we have exactly what we had in the beginning. And it has grown stronger and more meaningful. And the love that we share is deeper and more significant. Oh, good people, that is so important to the maintenance of the home. Yes, sir, the ideal home is founded upon love. But when we think about the ideal home, we mentioned procreation. That certainly is true. Only the home can give honorable birth. Now, that's an important statement. I need to remember that. To know what God thinks about fornication, sinful sexual activity, all one need do is read Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. God said, a bastard shall not enter into the assembly of Jehovah. Even unto the tenth generation shall none of his enter the assembly. Oh, that's strong language, good people. Now understand, this is under the law of Moses. Unto the tenth generation shall none of his enter the assembly. Oh, did you know that is the explanation of a verse that has given scholars a lot of problem? Psalms 51 at verse 5. I was shapen in iniquity, David said, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And some have concluded, now children are born in sin, or they're born little sinners. Well, friend, the very idea, whoever heard of such a thing? Why, Jesus when these apostles of his were talking about who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, took a little child, you remember, in Matthew 18, verse 3, placed him in the midst of them. And he told them, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Ooh, children are pure and innocent and guiltless. Well, sure, Matthew 19, verse 14. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for to such belongeth the kingdom of heaven. Children are pure, guiltless before God until they reach the age of accountability. They are sinless in God's sight. Well, now, someone says, just a moment, what did that verse 5 in Psalm 51 mean? I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Well, I think we've done this, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 38, you'll find that Judah married the daughter of Shua, and they had three children, Onan and Shelah. Judah selected a son for a wife for his oldest son. Tamar was her name, but was wicked, and God slew him. So Judah told the next boy, Onan, to take his brother's wife and rear up children to his fallen brother. Well, Onan knew the children wouldn't be his, so he refused to do it. God slew him. Judah told Tamar, you wait till my younger son, Shelah, is an adult, and you'll be given to him to wife. Well, in process of time, Judah's wife died, and he's comforted. He's going up to Timnah, where his sheep shearers are. He and Hira, the Adullamite, his friend, and his daughter-in-law, Tamar, heard that he was going up to Timnah, and so she put off the garments of her widowhood and put on the attire of a harlot and sat in the gate of a little village in Naam on the way to Timnah. And so when Judah saw her, of course, he made a proposition, and she said, what will you give me? He said, I'll send you a kid of the goats. Well, she said, what assurance? Well, he said, what can I give? She said, your signet, your ring, and your staff. And he gave them, and of course the thing was done, and he passed on. And later, it was told Judah, thy daughter-in-law Tamar is with child. Ooh, righteous Judah, he said, bring her forth and let her be burned. And she sent that signet and the ring and the staff, and she said, by the man whose these are, am I with child. Well, Judah acknowledged the fact that she was more righteous than he. But when the time came for her to be delivered, she was carrying twins. One stuck his arm out, the midwife tied a scarlet thread about it, and he withdrew it. And the other came out. And the midwife said, wherefore hast thou made a breach for thyself? Oh, as you call his name, Perez. Interesting, isn't it? This is the firstborn of an illegitimate relationship between a man and his daughter-in-law. He didn't know that she was his daughter-in-law. No. She concealed her identity, and this didn't happen again. But nonetheless, this is an illegitimate child. Well, you know, if you go to the beautiful book of Ruth, the last chapter, chapter 4, or in the last 5 verses, you will observe the descendants of this man, Perez. Perez, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. Wait, what? David is in the 10th generation from this man Perez, an illegitimate child. What was it that God said in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2? No bastard shall enter into the assembly of Jehovah. Even unto the 10th generation shall none of his... Oh, David was in the 10th generation. What did he say about his... Oh, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. You see, his father was still under the curse of Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, not David. David was in the 10th generation. Ah, so that's the significance of it. Yes, only the home can give honorable birth. Children are the heritage of Jehovah. The fruit of the womb is his reward. What a wonderful thing to hold your own flesh and blood in your hands. And you have your self-respect. You've built character. You have married a woman on the basis of love. And the two have become one. And here you have a child, a gift from God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Ah, children's children of the heritage of old men, the crown of old men. Oh, and the joy of children is their father's. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Yet there are people today in what is supposed to be marriage who really don't want children. And about 36% of the children today don't know who their fathers were. Fornication, adultery, ungodliness, immorality. And friends, the ideal home is not responsible for such conduct. The ideal home provides for happiness and fullness and genuine joy. Oh, what a wonderful thing indeed. Yes, the procreation of the human family. Then there is the preparation of the child for the adult role. That's a part of the ideal home. Training, preparing that child to live in this whole world. Now, wait a minute. He needs to understand the principles that govern before the mechanics of operation. Now, let's be sure we understand what we are saying. If we teach him who he really is, from whence he came, what his responsibilities are as a spiritual being, oh, then secular education will teach him the mechanics. That'll teach him how to handle himself. The foundation that you've laid while he is a child, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, oh, he'll know how to deal with his fellow man. Knows how to deal with his siblings, family. He understands later how to deal with his peers in the business world. But instilling within his heart who he really is and the principles of righteousness that should govern the lives of men and women, oh, that takes a godly example on the part of dad. Yes, sir. That takes a mother devoted to the rearing of her children. Yes, sir. That requires a great deal of discipline, no question. I read a piece the other day, came across it accidentally in my files and pulled it out, and it was entitled, "The Meanest Mother in the World." And when I read that, I know to a child that did sound, but they were so thankful when they grew up that they had the meanest mother in the world. And the young lady who wrote this saying that she also was honored when her children called her mean because she loved them. She wanted them to do the right thing. She didn't want them involved in sinful activities. Sure, to a child, that's a little bit preparation of the child for the adult role. Ah, yes, that's the function of the ideal home. Oh, and then there is the education and training of the offspring, the child within the ideal home. Now, too many times, if we aren't very careful, parents think about, you know, the school and the church. They should develop our children, and nothing can take the place of the home. You know, read just the other day, and I'm happy to hear this, fathers taking an interest in their students, their children in school. And they go to the school, sit there with the kids, and develop a good relationship. Hey, that's progressive. That's good. That's fine. Taking an interest in the children. When the child understands that his parent is primarily concerned with his growth and development, his education, his learning, that goes a long way in building that foundation beneath that child. It's sad. Preparation of the child for the adult role, the education and training of the child. You know, a child's development is fourfold. You recall Luke, what is that, chapter 2, maybe about verse 52? Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. Yes, sir. But did you know if we aren't careful today, and this is one of the problems in the homes of America, we have a threefold development. Advanced in wisdom and stature, favor with man. No. The principal relationship is the child's relationship to God. That's what you teach him while he is in the ideal home. His development is fourfold, and the ideal home will not overlook his spiritual development, his spiritual growth. Now, that takes example. That takes the right kind of teaching. That takes the right kind of attitude on the part of parents. That takes a loving consideration of existing circumstances. Yes, sir. Oh, and it's marvelous. When a child grows up in a home where love is the dominating principle, friends, he's psychologically well-adjusted. There's no question about that. He knows how to deal with his fellow man because he has self-respect. He understands who he is. He knows his importance functioning in society. He understands that. That's what the ideal home is all about. Education and training of the child is so important indeed. Oh, then there is the spiritual development of the child. Spiritual development. You recall that familiar statement, of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. God said to ancient Israel, and the principle obtains in the Christian age. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. They shall be for signs upon thine hands. Thou shalt bind them for frontlets between thine eyes. Upon thy gates and upon the doorposts of thine house shalt thou write them. What is God saying to ancient Israel? Friend, the prime responsibility of parenthood is to develop a knowledge of truth, a love for God in the hearts of offspring. That's what it's all, but notice where it comes from. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart. Oh, that godly example in the authoritarian figure that we've talked about. Dad, the first concept a child has of the fatherhood of God, he learns from you. What kind of an example have you set and are you setting for your children? It is so fundamentally important. Now, sometimes people say today, and we use various excuses, well, now, we live in a hurry-scurry time, you know. We move about quite rapidly. We are seldom at home. And we just don't have time. We don't. You have 168 hours every week. That's all Adam had. Friend, it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of priority. What is important? Well, I remember that Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul?" No, no. None of this is permanent. Everything here is temporary. Don't waste your time gaining wealth at the expense of the spiritual development of your children. Sure, you have a responsibility as a parent. We'll talk about that. Yes, sir. You're busy in this whole world, and that's as it should be. Work is vital to your happiness and self-esteem. We understand that. Your contentment. And it's essential to the welfare of your family. Sure, work is but don't put that ahead of the prime responsibility of the ideal home. It's the development of children. You know, we talk about feeding them physical food. Now, we have a responsibility for that, and we do that, and we're overjoyed to be able to do it. We thank God that He enables us, but that's not primary. No, no. We talk about clothing on their backs to cover their nakedness, and we do that. We understand that. We know the value of that, and God enables us to do that, and that's not primary. A shelter over their heads to protect them from the elements, and we do that. We understand that. And we know about every good and every perfect gift. It's from above, coming down from the Father of lights, James 1:17. And we give God thanks that we're able as parents to... But that's not primary. You see, they won't need any of those things very long. Now think about it. Physical food or physical material clothing, a roof over their head. Sure, that's important in this life. But they won't need that very long. But if we fail to instill within their hearts the love of God, the knowledge of truth, friend, we've missed the entire point. Your children, if they reach their majority, will stand with you in judgment. Where are we sending them? What are we doing for the spiritual development of our children? Notice what he said. Thou shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thine house. That didn't take any of your time. You do sit down once in a while, don't you? Sure. Or just a word, just backed up by a godly example. When you walk, by the way, look behind you, that little fellow with those short legs trying to step in your footprints. Isn't that amazing? Explain to him why you're out there with that thistle stick. Rooting up those thistles. Well, why are you doing? Oh, tell him about the noxious plant, how it came into being. Friend, every situation in life is an opportunity for spiritual instruction. You know, you read the New Testament. You find the Lord using parables. To lay down beside of a contrast. He talks about a familiar story, and from that he draws spiritual principles. Almost everything we see or everything we use in this life is an opportunity for teaching a spiritual principle to our child. No, it doesn't take a lot of time. It's just in passing, really. Oh, and it is so significant. And it stays within his heart, especially when it's backed up by the right kind of example. Oh, sure. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest with thee, when thou liest down, you do go to bed. Why, sure. Oh, yeah, it didn't say an hour and a half sermon. It's just a thought, just a word, a short prayer. Oh, yeah, and you may be busy the next morning trying to get out of the house and with your cup of coffee and put your coat on and you're running late and you, that's my dad. You see, he understands that. When your example is as it should be, and the teaching you do is done in love, and you're trying to point him toward the Master, that's my dad. He loves that. Well, sure, there'll be times when he'll object and when he doesn't particularly like, but as he grows older and as he becomes a responsible human being, he will love you for that kind of discipline, that kind of instruction. But then when you talk about the ideal home, there is the economic structure of the home. A dad provides for the welfare of the home. And what was that statement? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I desire that the younger women marry, bear children, rule the household. Oh, we mentioned that, didn't we? Well, now, wait a minute. The husband is the head of the what? Right, right. It's a team, two people. Become one, each having his or her response. Oh, the home, that's Mama's place. Yes, sir. I have no idea what we need at home. I can't even cook. I mean, I don't know a thing in the world about that. That's her realm. Yes, sir. Dad provides the means. He works and underwrites the expense. It takes care of it. But it's a team effort. Mama, with very wise shopping, careful dispensing of the funds. Yes, sir. That team effort, no longer two but one, each serving in his or her heaven-assigned position. Oh, that makes for the ideal home. That's really what it's all. But then think about the recreational activities of the home. When you think about having a good time, you want to do this, always consider your wife and your children. Friend, it's in these recreational activities that memories are built. Oh, there's no question about that. I remember little things from 70, 75 years ago. Yes, sir. And not expensive things. As a matter of fact, didn't really amount to a thing. But I was with my dad and my mom. And that's the important thing. These are memory builders. And then let me suggest in the few moments that we have left, in the ideal home, there is, of course, the essential factor known as discipline. Too many times today, discipline is lacking in the home, and the child grows up somewhat running wild. He doesn't understand about existing authority or his responsibility relative thereto. He needs to be disciplined. Discipline is always exercised with love. A full explanation to the child, and always for the good of the child. Also, yes, sir, he that spareth the rod hateth his own son. Oh, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, as often as is necessary. Why would he do that? Because he loves his child. He wants him to be a law-abiding, productive citizen. He realizes the problems that can ensue. Oh, and the consequences of a lawless life, allowing his child to run wild, and as long as you can escape justice, as long as you can dodge responsibility, no. The ideal home does not promote that kind of thinking or attitude. The ideal home disciplines the child. directs him in the proper course of life. You know, it's so important. Friend, you can't have an ideal home without giving your life to the Lord, believing with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, motivated by love for Him who died to redeem your soul, you turn away from the willful practice of sin, confess His name before men, and be buried with Him in baptism, you're raised a new creation in Christ.